Today, a return to the 1970s. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. What are his posts covering finance and property news with a distinctly Australian and New Zealand flavour? And today I'm joined again by Joe Wilkes. Hello, Joe. Long time no see.
Hello, Martin. It is indeed, and my apologies.
Yeah, you've been around all over the place, I understand.
Yeah, I've been having a little trip around New Zealand and I've meeting some really interesting people, having valuable conversations, and it's been quite interesting for me because we've got this record building going on and building levels that are back at the 1970s level. So higher consents, higher construction than at any point. We've got reasonably high levels of immigration, which is also fairly common with that 1970s theme. More worrying, I think, for me is it's almost impossible to actually watch a whole rugby game on Spark TV without it cutting out and going into sort of weird shades of haze. So I'm getting quite frustrated. I do fear that we might be making a return to the 1970s.
Ah, well, you know, in those days, the summers were longer, money was cheap, property was perfect, and migration was high. And of course, you could watch rugby games on the real TV.
Yeah, I know. Now we're trying to stream it from a laptop to the computer, sorry, to the television. And then when more than four people in your row try and do the same thing, your game cuts out. Doing my head in.
Modern technology for you. But the conversation about increasing migration in New Zealand seems to be hot at the moment.
Yeah, it's been one that I think it's quite noticeable that the last government got in. I mean, both the Winston Peters led party and Jacinda's party, the Labour government, both campaigned on reducing the levels of immigration. Immigration has come off a little bit. Part of that Stats New Zealand decided to change the way that they recorded the numbers. I'm not sure if they've quite worked out what they're doing with that yet. But the other thing is it has seemed to come off a bit. And then at the minute that happens, we start to see a challenge in our housing market. We've got a hell of a lot of new build construction all over the place that is sat empty and idle. All over Auckland now, there are big developments in North Shore. Large developments, large swathes of property that are finished and empty. I saw the same in Christchurch last week. So there's a big Fletcher development on the outskirts of the town centre, probably no more than 500-600 metres from the old cathedral site. And Christchurch is they've done a really good job of trying to reinvigorate the city after the event of 2011. And I think that there's still a few memories of a few buildings that really should have been brought down, but are still there. But what's interesting is that the new stuff that's been built, Fletcher's had a very large development, the One Central development, where, I don't know, probably 70, 80% of the units that I saw there, which are finished, are unoccupied and are on the market. And they just appear to be asking prices that the local market just can't get to. And they're also, I don't know how to describe it, they're funny sort of buildings that don't really keep in tune with what New Zealanders have historically got used to buying. So in the absence of the foreign buyers, and we've talked about this before, there'll be a lot of developers and there's a lot of banks that'll be sitting on debt that's part of this construction. And if there aren't any buyers for them, they're going to have to start discounting soon.
So what's happening then to credit? So if there's a lot of spare property around, the question is, are people borrowing more and are people able to effectively go buy?
Well, we've seen the credit impulse is weakening. Despite the shock and awe posts that we did where we talked about the big dramatic 0.5% cut in the cash rate, and that has followed with banks lending now below 3.5%. All the major lenders are below 3.5% now on 1 and 2 year money. And the China Construction Bank are down at 3.15%. So there are a couple of these lenders that have gone lower. HSBC's gone lower. interesting news from them announcing further 10,000 job losses across the world yesterday. I think that's on top of 5,000 that they announced a couple of months ago. So, but they're still trying to lend money cheap. And I wonder whether or not there'll be a little bit of an impact with HSBC's involvement in the Hong Kong market and what's going on there at the moment. So, yeah, some funny things happening, which August C31 data, and this is the data that the RBNZ report on new lending. So August C31 data was lower than the C31 data for August of last year. Higher than the C31 data for August of the year before, but you can see there is a weakening month on month. And September sales announced by the REINZ, they also fell. So there's less money being created into the household sector, and it's I don't know. I mean, I think part of what we're seeing with the credit growth is that the credit growth still is being propped up by the construction boom that people haven't yet woken up to. Now, as a result, all the parties that voted for reducing immigration and are currently in power are now changing the tune and suggesting that we need to increase immigration. And the way that it's being done, I don't know if it's being done on compassionate grounds, Martin, but even Winston Peters, who was vehemently against high levels of immigration before the last election, he's now in favour of us allowing recent immigrants to import their parents as well. So we're not talking about people who are, you know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s. We're actually talking about people who are over 60. I'm sure they've got a few good years of fruit picking left in them, but I'm not sure how long they'll have picking fruit. If I'm perfectly honest, it seems like a complete about turn. I was in Tauranga 2 weeks ago, and the retirement villages that we talked about in our Out and About in Sunny New Zealand post, they are getting finished. But there's still very, very low levels of occupancy. I don't know whether we're importing old people to fill those retirement villages up. But there's a genuine desire now to get more bodies into the country. Mm. Now, this is going to do a couple of things. If they do it, one, it's going to create some social challenges with infrastructure and particularly around the health services, because we ultimately we're all like a car. We have a fantastic years when we're running smoothly, and then eventually things start breaking, and you need a regular checkup, and your warrant of fitness sometimes fails. So we have to think about what the impact of this is. Are they trying to get babysitters into the country so that the recently arrived immigrants can actually both go out to work and not have to worry about the childcare, so they can be more productive, picking more fruit faster? I'm joking. That's terrible. A lot of them actually doing other productive things like IT and working at petrol stations and working at liquor stores and McDonald's. So we don't really think about this, but there's no wider discussion about the why, because credit growth is slowing and they're panicking.
Mm. No, it's very interesting. There was a remarkable article from the St. Louis Fed talking about Australia, right? And they were basically talking about Australia's GDP miracle, right? The fact that we've had 28 years of growth. But then they actually made the point that the reason you've got growth is simply because you've got more people coming into the country. And in fact, you've had three GDP per capita recessions in that same period, right? So essentially, it's almost impossible for an economy like Australia or indeed New Zealand with high immigration to actually not grow. But it's not necessarily productive growth. It's not necessarily something which is creating real more value for the people already in the country. It's just numbers. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, well, if you look at the immigration stats for the last 12 months, which has just been published this week, one third of the new arrivals into the country are either under the age of 18 or over the age of 60. So we're not, you know, the whole idea of, oh, we need to get people in because we need to have these skill sets, you know, matched, and we need, you know, people to go and do this and people to go and do that and people to go and build the roads and the infrastructure. That's not really the case, because I haven't seen many 12-year-old bricklayers recently.
Child labour was banned, I think, a few years ago, as I recall.
I haven't seen them. I mean, it might start happening. Who knows? We've got to get them. You know, we've got to get them doing something. So we've got some interesting things happening. But ultimately, these people, they arrive, and they are people that the banks and the governments ultimately hope will take on credit. Mm. Now, last week, do you remember my friend Tony Alexander, who I was a bit, I don't know, I wasn't unkind on Tony, but Tony was talking over the last few years about how Auckland would never see house prices fall because it was like London. Ultimately, Tony was the chief economist at BNZ Bank. I'm not sure if he's really an economist so much as a debt salesman. But Tony last week decided to resign. And I always think that this is quite interesting. When you get these things happening, John Key, he resigned, didn't want to continue and finish his leadership of the National Party. We've subsequently had chief economists leave at ANZ to be replaced. We've had the CEO of ANZ disappear under a murky bucket. We've had the former chief economist at the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. He packed up his clogs last year and went into private enterprise, which is sort of funded by the bank, and a really nice guy. And now we've got Tony Alexander leaving. It's all too uncanny that all these buggers are jumping ship at the same time.
Well, maybe the truth
sorry,
is...
Sorry, retiring, Martin. Retiring, sorry.
Retiring, yeah. Retiring. Yeah. Moving on to fresh pastures. But what's weird is that at a time when, you know, you want a bit more intelligent conversations from economists as to what's really going on, I'm certainly seeing here in Australia and perhaps in New Zealand too, that they really are not stepping up to the plate at all. In fact, most of them seem to me to be still sucking the old Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I think a lot of them just don't get it. I mean, I will say that the guys at Kiwi Bank seem to start to understand. I've seen some good commentary from them recently, I have had a conversation with one of them many months ago. But they are now investigating further. They're looking at things in a bit more depth. But generally, the press is still pretty negligent. It wasn't reported on mainstream TV. The support for let's get the parents of the recently arrived immigrants into the country too. So, funny times, mate. Really funny times.
And as you went around the country, you know, we know that prices are down in Auckland. Are they going down in other places too, or is Auckland an isolated example of price decline?
It appears at the moment that it's limited to a couple of cents. The stock levels this spring, they haven't yet risen, so we haven't yet seen the normal levels of new properties. And I think that there's going to be a combination of that. So in Auckland, there'll be a lot of people who are trapped because of the price changes, and particularly the top end of the market. They won't return to the market. They'll be paying down debt and destroying money in the economy. That's just the thing. You pay down debt faster than people are taking it on, and you're destroying money. Mm. So I think that's happening there. Tauranga seems to have started to see more property coming on. And I think that the support I'm getting information from the auction rooms there from a friend of mine who's been fairly stringent in his research. He's attending every week. The support is still there at the lower end of the market, but the top end of the market, there is a waning of support. So anything that's north of $1 million is struggling to sell in the auction houses. I think Wellington and surrounds the top end of the market there is under pressure. And what's happening is that the people at the top end, they're just saying, well, look, I'm just going to sit here for my price, because the middle sector of the market, they're already heavily leveraged. They just can't trade up. You've just got this block where they're saying, oh, well, sod it, I won't bother moving, I'll just sit here. Maybe I'll move in the future, but for the moment, I'm just going to pay down my debt. So we've got this block, I think, where in large parts of the country, there is still a genuine shortage of houses coming onto the market. So those that come on at the lower end, people are still buying them. There's a growth in higher loan-to-value mortgage lending. So year on year, the C31 data from August to August of this year, that's gone up, and there's more people borrowing at higher multiples. But I think generally the stock levels are still quite low. And if this is where the the people at the Property Investors Federation and the people at the the various bodies that provide information for the investment clubs, they'll be saying, "Oh, don't worry, don't sell, just hang on, it'll all get better." But actually, in doing that, what happens is that you're reducing the volume of new money created into the economy. So it's a bit of a catch-22. I'm not sure how long it takes to play out, but it's started. There's been a few little news stories about little pockets of price rises because obviously we've had this 0.5% cap on the cash rate. And, I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few areas where prices will be going up, but on very, very, very low volumes.
Yeah, well, we've got the same thing here, right, with very, very low volumes. And in fact, I think they're distorting the index in terms of price movements. And if you look at the total momentum on credit, it's still very weak here too. So somewhat similar.
You're down 3.1% now, annual growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, and okay, so that's a level we've hardly ever seen for a long, long time. But what's really also interesting is that we've had no pickup in terms of new property coming onto the market either into the spring. So in fact, I surveyed households a few months ago and they were saying, well, we'll consider putting our property into the market as we come into summer. Well, there's none of that. And I think it's because, again, people are a bit concerned about what's happening and particularly the confidence levels going down and the fact that prices, whilst they may be going up in some pockets, actually overall, many people are seeing no price moves and people are paying down debt. And, you can't see it more clearly. It is the case that when people are feeling uncertain about things, they're going to be less likely to take on more debt. They're more likely to pay down more debt, even with low rates.
Yeah, well, I mean, across the country here, you've got an increase in the number of construction firms that are falling over and they're walking away from the people that they were employing. Recently, Fonterra have announced that the closure of a plant near me, where they've employed 70 people in total, but over 40 full time. Fonterra, a bit of a canary in the coal mine for New Zealand because of the level of debt that they're carrying. So these things are starting to happen, and I think that what I found interesting was I've been talking to a lot of people who are in the real estate sector. The number of houses that are being appraised is actually really high. So people working for various different companies are going and seeing lots of houses and they're offering advice. And everybody said that they're really busy on that front, but it's not converting into new listings. So I wonder whether people, because of this shock cut in the cash rate to 0.5%, and we are going to see it cut again. I'm not going to bet the house on it, but I'll sell the kids on it. We're going to see another cut in November. The whole thing at the moment is that people seem to be doing a lot of research. So they're going out and they're getting maybe not just the one or two appraisals that they used to get, and they'd stick it on with, Bob, who sold a few in the road last year. They're now getting several people out and still not deciding to do anything. So fascinating times. I saw a lot of this in the UK when we were coming out of our major correction. Was we had a short, sharp shock in my market where prices fell 25 to 30% over the course of 12, 13 months. And then they did bounce back a bit. But what happened was that the volumes just got crunched. So where historically a town might be selling 1,000 and upwards houses a year, it was down at 500-600 for several years afterwards. So we'll see what happens. But I can't see this credit momentum increasing. And despite the few little good news stories about prices rises, and then that's good for some. I don't think there's going to be enough credit created generally.
Yeah, well, you might like to know that I was actually in the real estate industry in the 70s in the UK.
Bloody hell, you weren't, were you, Martin?
I was, exactly. I actually trained as a building surveyor and went into... So I actually went through one of those cycles where, people were optimistic and then went very negative. And in fact, there was some significant price corrections through the 70s. Partly because of the oil shock and other things, right? So I just want to remind people that the 70s may see alluring, but in fact there were issues in the property market then, and prices did fall then as well.
Yeah, it's a big, it's the unkept secret of the property seminars over here. Nobody talks about the 38% fall in real house prices over here. And that occurred between 75 and 1980, but we don't mention that. Tony
Yeah.
Alexander, never heard Tony Alexander mention it before he left.
Well, property prices can only ever go up, isn't that right?
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong? Joe, good to talk to you.
Good to see you, mate.
See you. Bye.
Take care.
So there you have it. I think Joe makes an important point. It looks as though credit will continue to ease, and if it does, then the economy will continue to weaken. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.